Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Taskmaster Half of Podcast. Yes, Taskmaster. That's right. We're here to talk about our favorite British panel show. And yes, Grace, I'm including you in that this is your favorite British panel show. I'm deciding that for you. Hope you do not mind.
It's probably even like I think it's like my favorite TV show. I think
it's my favorite TV show. Yeah.
So like you don't have to just use the like British panel show.
No,
any TV show. I think it's the top. It's so unique. It's so great. I'm very excited to be back talking with you about Taskmaster Series 11.
I am too. Because I'm a Libra, I am so indecisive. And yes, I will blame it on me being a Libra. I don't need you to tweet me and tell me I'm wrong about that I'm indecisive. So it's hard for me to pick favorite things sometimes. But Taskmaster is my favorite show. I try and make as many people watch it as humanly possible. And we're here to give a recap of season 11. It just finished last week. We're here on a Thursday evening. Even if you're not listening to this on a Thursday evening, we're here in a time when we'd usually be watching Taskmaster.
Yeah, I needed to fill my Taskmaster void by like talking about it rather if there was no new episode dropping today.
So I'm really excited to get into the season. I thought even though it was another studio filmed in COVID where everyone's kind of separated, there's no audience, I thought the season was still a lot of fun. I thought this cast had great chemistry. It kind of made me look at series 10 in a slightly different light. I don't know if that's the same for you. But I had a great time watching this season.
Yeah, they're very different. Like for the two, like first COVID series, they're very different. I think that in series 11, I feel like they found their groove of like how to do with a show with no audience. I feel like I was most excited for Lee going into this season. And I feel he was the most hampered by like there not being a live audience to play off of. But I still think that like the dynamic between the five people worked so well that like I didn't miss the audience as much as I think I did. I missed them last season.
Yeah. And I'm definitely missing them in general, but I think the five of them had such a like a interesting chemistry that I thought really worked with their group being so insular and only having seven people there on stage.
Their relationship with like Greg, I think in particular, they each had this like very unique relationship with Greg in terms of like Charlotte, like Greg kept calling her the school, like the kindergarten teacher. And you could just tell they I think similar to everybody who gave us feedback today, everybody loves Mike Wozniak. You could tell like Greg loves Mike. I love like the like confrontation between Jamali. Like he just had this relationship sort of like with every single contestant that I think sort of filled that void that we normally get with an audience. So I definitely want an audience back, but it looks like for at least the time being, because I think they filmed all of series 12 as well. So yeah.
So you mentioned Lee Mack. I love Lee Mack. He was the only person that I was really familiar with going into the season. I had watched some of, I believe it was Man Down that Mike Wozniak was in with Greg. I've seen some of that, but I didn't have any particular memory of him from that. Lee Mack was a standout and I was excited to see him on Taskmaster, but I was a little worried too, because in Would I Lie to You? He really carries a lot of the show on his back, in all honesty. Yeah. Yeah. And I was worried that either he'd be too much for for this kind of panel where everyone really has a chance to shine, or he would accidentally dial back too much of what he is. And I thought he worked really well on Taskmaster because he was so thrown off by all of it. Like in Would I Lie to You? He's been doing it for ages and ages. The Taskmaster, he was like kind of put on the spot a lot. He wasn't really sure what he could do. And he's a quick thinker and he's a super clever guy. But it didn't always work to his advantage. And I thought that was fun to see him uncomfortable.
I think that I relate a lot to Lee in the sense of like, I think I'm like witty. Like I'm not on like Lee Mack's level. He's like literally one of the like quickest, like in terms of like coming up with a joke or like referencing something that's already happened. Like that's my favorite part of Would I Lie to You, is just like his ability to like take something that's already been said and make this little quip that you're like, man, that's so funny. And yet like it does that skill didn't seem to like translate into in Taskmaster in the way that like I think some people like thought it would. Like he actually has to like do things, I think. So it's like a challenge, which I think would be me as well. Like I think you'd be a bit like frozen by all the things you could do. He very cutely, he was on the Ed Gamble, the official Taskmaster podcast. We're the unofficial Taskmaster podcast.
We can't compete.
Yeah. But he said like his kids are like massive, massive fans. And like he was really doing a lot of, and I think where he kind of like froze was he said his kids just didn't want him to be last. So he didn't care if he won. They just didn't want him to embarrass. They didn't want them to embarrass him. So I think he like froze in a lot of moments of just like, I can't mess this up. But then that like hampered his ability to like get through a lot of the tasks. But I think still very fun to watch, very funny in the studio. So.
An absolute surprise and gem for me was Charlotte Ritchie. I loved that she was kind of like the Catherine Parkinson of like,
yes,
being terrible at everything.
Yes, yes.
But she had the self-awareness to be like, this is all going terribly. Like you mentioned before, Greg had this storyline with her that she was a kids show presenter.
Oh yeah, kids show
presenter. Every time something else came up, she's like, yep, I heard it. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's great. Yeah.
And all of her prize tasks were like decent, but anytime Greg was like, no, this is shit, she's like, yeah, you're right. This was terrible. She was a lot of fun for me where every episode she looked like, why am I here? What did I do wrong? Like, what did I do to end up in this spot?
Yeah. She was such a treat to watch in the sense that like she was doing terribly at the task. And I think one of the things about Taskmaster is that like you have often heard the contestants be like, you really don't, like sometimes you think you nailed it and then you show up on the test and you like get disqualified or like you like are the slowest person out of the bunch. And so I don't think she knew that she was like gonna be the worst, as bad as like she was. But she just always has this like cheerful attitude. I mean, the kids presenter thing is pretty spot on of like always
she
just
wore
like
overalls. Like what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so just like having, and she's so like charming, I think, is that she like wins, even though she's like, don't do that. Like, no, please don't do that. But like she was so sweet. A surprise standout from the show, which I think Taskmaster pretty much is always like every season. There's that person like, I don't know them. And by the end of them, I like want to watch everything they're in. And Charlotte fills that void for me.
Yeah. Charlotte is in a show with Canadian comedian Mae Martin, which I'm really excited to check out eventually. What's it called? Do you remember?
Is she in Ghost? Is that the show?
She is in Ghost, but that's, I'm gonna do a quick Google. Netflix, this show that I'm talking about.
The thing about Ghost, I think there's been like three of the casts have been on the, like, I think Lolly Adefape is on the show.
And yep.
There's one other person who's been
yes
on Taskmaster who's been in Ghost. So that's a well they like going to. But
Feel Good is the show I was thinking about.
Oh, fun.
And in direct contrast to Charlotte, we had Jamali Maddox, who I believe he had never seen an episode.
Oh, I don't. Before. Yeah, we got asked about the conspiracy theory of whether Jamali has seen the show. I generally don't think he's watched an episode before he was cast.
And he was such a unique character for me. I thought he was so interesting. I thought he was so funny. And, you know, just the way he hated, you could tell he was hating Alex by the end.
Might be my favorite Alex contestant dynamic ever. Like, there's the few where like Jamali will be like, I need like a balloon, and Alex will be, what color? And he's like, it literally doesn't matter what color, just like, don't care. Like, you're wasting time. And there's one where he's going to get him something, and Alex keeps like turning around. He's like, okay, well, at least like pause the clock, like I'm waiting on you to go, and you just keep asking stupid questions. I just love their dynamic so much.
And he had such a great dynamic with Greg too. Like, he was willing to go to bat for things and say like, no, this price task was great. Like, what are you thinking? This is why it was great. And Greg at the end is like, yeah, I'm convinced that was great. You're right. He was so simple and succinct and brilliant. I had such a fun time watching Jamali.
Yeah, I knew of Jamali from a show. It's a Vice show called Hate Thy Neighbor, where he like purposely puts himself, like he'll go visit like racist Confederate, like people. That's like the whole show is him just like exploring racism, like in person, face to face. And he like does, and he like has a stand up in between. And so I'd watch that show. But I was like really impressed. I thought he was so fun. Just like, yeah, just have someone who like, and I think him not seeing Taskmaster also just helped him, like in terms of you know, you're not like trying to do the thing that everybody else has done. You're not like looking for the loopholes. Just like, no, I'll just do the stupid thing you want me to do. And oftentimes it, like, he wasn't like, he didn't win. I don't even know what place he came in, but just sort of, yeah, get the test done so I can like get out of here. It's like his general motto.
Mike Wozniak was just an absolute character.
Yeah, I don't know if we have like hours and hours to spend on Mike Wozniak. Like, we'll do a separate just Mike Wozniak podcast. Yeah,
I mean, I'm into that. I had such a fun time with Mike. I will say his prize task on the very first episode, like, bring something that's, what was it? It was like,
it's something you can carry, but
not
just.
Well. Yeah. And so he had like a song, which I was like, okay, like, I get it. It's funny, but like, well, I didn't think it deserved like the 5 points he got or whatever. And as the series went on, I was like, okay, this is just who Mike is, and I'm having a great time.
Yeah, his brain just works in a way that I don't think a lot of other people's do. And it's just like so funny and so good. And it's just like, I mean, comedy is all about like subverting expectations. Like, you know, you have a setup to a joke and then the punchline is something that you didn't see coming. And that's what makes it funny. And Mike is so weird and unique that like, it's unlike anything anybody I've ever seen before. He's amazing. He's incredible. He's amazing. I'm in love with Mike Wozniak.
Me too. Yeah. I can't help it. I'm like, how are you hot? Like, you're not hot. Like, how am I so attracted to you? It's not fair.
But the internet is just like in love with Mike Wozniak. Like, well, it's so good.
The moment Sarah Kendall on the podcast was like, yeah, he has a rockin' bod. I was like,
yeah, I know.
I'm done.
I know. He's a swimmer, apparently.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And speaking of Sarah Kendall, she's my favorite type of contestant, which is like the no nonsense woman where she just puts her head down and like does the task. And that's the comedy of it, where it's that she's so like serious about it. And so like, I just got to do what's in front of me. That's all I have to do.
I think also though, with like a bit of self doubt, like I think the difference between when I said like Jamali will just do the task, there's no like, he's just like, I'm just going to do it this way because this is the way I thought about it. And I think Sarah, I think like I was rewatching episode one where they have to like take the bike, the scooter or the Segway or whatever. And she brings back like 4 plates. She rides the bike. She brings like 4. She puts them on the table and Alice goes, oh, you've brought me your plates. And she looks up and she goes, am I doing this wrong? Like, and she just, there's so much panic, but there's nothing else she can do in that moment. It's like, no, I this is what I've chosen to do. So I got to go back and just get the rest of the plates on this bike. And yeah, I just think, she was quite fun. I cannot believe that like she almost blew her lead, over the course of the show.
After like the 4th episode, she was head and shoulders above everyone else. And then as the series went on, like she didn't win any episodes past episode 4.
She won 3 out of 4, the first 4, 3 out of the first 4, and then completely just like biffed it towards the end.
But she was brilliant. I had such a great time with her. I really enjoyed the cast. I really enjoyed the way they interacted. I think I liked the tasks better this season than I did last season. I don't know if that's recency bias or not, but I just feel like there was more this season that I was like, oh, I would love to do that. Or, oh, I'd love to see other people do that too. Or, you know, ones that I'm excited to go back and rewatch.
I think what they did well this season was tasks where people like approached them very differently. I feel like, and again, they apparently most of the season was filmed pre-COVID, but then all the team tasks were post lockdown. So the team tasks definitely have a different feel to them. Even last season was the weird thing where like some of them were filmed before and some of them were filmed. Like last season, I think just felt a little bit more disjointed, but I feel like this season they really figured out. Yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff in there. Some very weird ones though too that I'm not sure I really like and I ever want to revisit.
let's go down that stream. Which ones were you not a big fan of?
I just can't visually, like the banana in the wine bottle.
Yeah,
I just can't. Like I can't ever watch it again. Like a frozen banana that then is like becoming frozen mush. And then they're trying to like get the jello out and the jello is making like the sound. I actually have a very weird phobia. I'm actually like, it's not a phobia as much as like a sensory thing. I hate straws. I really, really hate straws.
Okay.
And like whenever they're trying to like get the jello out of the wine, and I'm like, no, no, thank you. No, this whole task. And then similarly, the one where they have to get all the items on the table in order by number of sides. And we get the Lee Mack soundbite.
Yeah, that was one of, it was really funny at the time, but that's not something I would ever want to be filmed doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. It's disgusting. Yeah, no.
I'm trying to think if there is any that I didn't particularly like. I can never remember the ones I don't like, but there was some that I really loved. I'd have to say my favorite one, it's pretty basic, but I love the, like, dress the bee in a costume.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. I like when they, like, set them up. Like, there's, like, this, like they just were wearing a beekeeper's costume. And they're just like, just do the task at this. I really liked that aspect of it. And then, again, I think that's one where it's, like, it's so simple, but... I mean, a lot of them did try to do a beekeeper's costume to start with, but they all just went in like these wildly different directions, right? Which is so fun.
And then Charlotte's little pope bee, like,
yeah,
I was like screaming. And then Lee's, I was genuinely blown away by Lee's recreation of his own Evel Knievel outfit on this little bee, including a half frozen pea hat.
Yeah, when he's like, I need a frozen bee, like immediately. I was like, wow, that's very clever. I would have never like gone helmet is a frozen bee. There were some that I were like, I think there's episode 3 where there's like, you have to make the saunas hiss. I'm just watching different people throw water basically at some rocks. And then that same one, they have the security line one, which is like, yeah, okay, I get what they were going, that like people would do, because you could like take different ropes and whatever. But just some of those ones were like, I think sometimes are just a bit, they're not as fun as like, you know, seeing how, I think my favorite tasks are where they like create something. And then you really get to see how their personalities like shine.
Yeah, I love the kind of like art ones. So I really loved the take 4 very different photos.
Yes.
And I loved the team task where they had to draw a British animal, but only pieces of it. Yes. I loved the babushka meal.
Yeah,
that was I love the food ones. I love the eating ones.
Well, it's because we get to see Alex Horn eat some. It's very reminiscent for me of like summer camp. We used to do this program where it was like we do like a Top Chef or like whatever, or like Iron, you know, whatever. And we'd let the kids just like go and they'd have to build a fire and like make their own meal. And then all the staff would eat it. And inevitably there was always like a group that was just like, let's just make it really disgusting. Like we'll make it really gross and they have to eat it. And so I just like, I really feel for Alex when he's like eating a toothpaste pie or something.
You know? I know. And I could see myself absolutely like trying so hard to like make a good meal. Cause like, I know he's going to get pure shit for the rest of them.
Yep.
And I always love the like figure out what kind of like fried item this is or what kind of pie is.
Yeah, that was good. The batter with the wallet and the receipt being in the wallet, I thought was very clever. And battered batter, I think, was in there. Yeah. And I just when you get to really see Alex's brain work, I think, is really fun. Of like, yeah, I'm going to just batter all these things. Or like, yeah, I'm going to make them wear a beekeeper's costume. And I have to dress up a bee. It's like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, one task we could talk about that there was a feedback question about is the gaffa tape and cling film task. Mm-hmm. They had to completely cover their legs. The task said, I think it said, with cling film and gaffa tape, completely cover your legs. And there was controversy with Lee about whether that meant your legs have to be totally covered with gaffa tape and cling film, or whether some parts could be covered with cling film and some could be covered with gaffa tape, which I think, well, what do you think? Was Lee right?
Because I'm such an ardent rule follower, I would probably see it and see it from like all angles and be like, okay, Alex, what is it that you want me to do? Do you want mm-hmm. my legs covered? Like, mm-hmm. do you want to not see my legs because mm-hmm. of the gaffa tape mm-hmm. and the whatever? And then he'd say, well, all the information's on the task.
Yes.
And I'd be like, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, well, I'll do all of it just to make sure.
I think definitively Lee is wrong in this instance.
Really?
And actually there's like an interesting, when I was rewatching the episodes, there's actually another task that I think proves his point, which is the point I made to somebody when they were like, I think Lee, it makes sense. He's saying that like your films have to be completely covered in gaffa tape and cling film. But like, if you did put like, if you even had like one of your legs all covered in cling film, and then another whole leg covered in tape. And then I walked outside and someone said, why are your legs covered in gaffa tape and cling film?
Like, yeah,
that's right. Because he does this, he makes this argument when he says, if he like had the salt, if he had the salt, Mike wants him to put the salt in the like in the tablecloth or whatever. And then he thinks that counts as not carrying it. And he said, well, if I told my wife, and I said, oh, I bought the salt. And she said, well, are you carrying it? And I said, no, even though it was in a bag that I was holding, I would be wrong. I mean, I'm carrying the salt. So I think like Lee's argument of like, what would somebody tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, but your legs are completely covered in gaffa tape and cling film. He's wrong.
And I am like, yes, what everyone else did, I think was fine because it was I agree with you, but knowing myself, I would have been like, I'm not sure what you want. I guess I'll just go I'll just do what I think is like the most extreme example of it.
Yeah. And then I guess to be fair, if I interpreted the rules that like, no, your whole legs have to be like with both in the studio, I would absolutely be arguing that everybody else was wrong and didn't do it. And they should be disqualified. And I should be the only one to get points. So,
yeah. And I mean, Jamali, it was so simple yet so genius that he wrapped those legs.
Just do one leg at a time.
Of course, you should be doing that.
I know. We all put our gaffa tape and cling film on one leg at a time. I guess we don't. Is the point? We don't.
So there's always like these little clever little workarounds of the tasks, and I think the wallet one was a good example where it was a receipt of all of the stuff that was deep fried. I have to say, my least favorite workaround of the season was that the bag in that team challenge had salt in it when they were supposed to be getting sugar to the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I did like it for the moment. I mean, I hate that Mike and Lee got disqualified, but
it was
a
great TV moment, but I just don't think it was like fair. And it's like all's fair except love and Taskmaster.
I also did rewatch it, and I did notice that like, because when Lee is going to pick up everything, he goes to pick up the whole cloth, and you there in the camera you can see that he's so close to just seeing that there's salt under the table, and then he says no, we should just throw it to be safe, like we'll be safer this way. So then they do the strategy and they never and it also does spill on Mike, so I don't know, I thought it was funny.
It was funny, but if I was living that, I would have been mad.
Well, that was also the episode where Lee gets disqualified for the loo roll task. So this whole thing is hilarious that he like uses it to wipe off, because he had just done the banana task. So he's wiping off his goggles and then he puts it and he doesn't throw. Also, that's weird that he didn't flush it down the toilet. And then he finds out he didn't do it. And then he gets disqualified because he ended up taking the roll off. And also that woman, that poor woman who is like, no, I don't want to take this loo roll away from this house. Yeah.
What a dream that would be, though, to see Lee Mack running out the Taskmaster house, being like, can you just take this for me? I'd be like,
if I knew where the Taskmaster was and I lived in England, I would, sorry, every lunch break, I have to drive around the Taskmaster house just in case somebody pops out to do a task.
You can find it on Google Maps pretty easily.
Oh, great.
Just type in Taskmaster house and it'll pop up.
Great. Can I say the one thing I don't like when the live task at the end is a team task, because it means that if you are behind on points with somebody on the same team as you, you can't catch up, you can't win.
I would have to agree with you there. As much as I love the tong and marshmallow challenge, I do find it tough when it is a team challenge, or at least they have to stay with the person they're on a team with the entire time.
Somebody asked us in the feedback, they asked if this was their first ever time watching Taskmaster, and they asked if do you think it's unfair that the teams are always the same. I said, like, that's just the way it's been for 11 times. I've never even thought about that you would mix up the teams. And part of it is a filming thing, especially during COVID, like they don't want to like be mixing up who's there. But the other thing is that, like, just from a production standpoint, they just film like all of your team tasks in one day, which was funny in the like tasks where they have to be in an argument. It's funny, that's like the first time they've ever met each other. Like, you can tell that like Jamali is meeting the other two for the first time. But yeah, I've never thought about the idea that they would just like switch up the teams.
No, I never did either. It's so wild to me thinking about that. I don't know.
I I mean, I think what's like, I mean, they set up, they obviously get to pick who are, is going to be on the team. So like getting to watch Mike and Lee do a bunch of tasks together, I think was like, beneficial for us from an entertainment perspective. Not that the other team wasn't also great. It's always bugged me. I mean, we're talking about fairness. It's always bugged me that the teams are uneven.
I would agree with you there. And I'm a little tired of all of the youngs being on one team and all the olds being on another team. Like I need some young old integration.
Yeah, I actually wasn't that. When Lee and Mike were first paired up, I actually didn't want them to be together. I thought it would have been more fun.
I thought the same.
And they ended up like producing some, like, I mean, the argument that they have against each other is like, so is really good. But yeah, I think it would have been fun to mix.
Like imagine like Lee and Sarah or something like that.
Oh, I feel like their brains would explode. Like they feel like they're both super overthinkers. I feel like.
And then like seeing Jamali interact with Mike and Charlotte would have been really dynamic, I think is a word to use.
Actually, a Lee and Jamali team would have been, because I think that's the most competitive with the least competitive.
Yeah.
Would have been really interesting as well. Yeah.
The moment I laughed the hardest this entire season was when Jamali jumped on the bottle of paint and it exploded all over the caravan.
Yeah, it was really great. What a great moment. And I think it's in the intro, but I always like, when you're watching the intro, you like, you know, you forget about these moments until they happen. Yeah, and he just steps on it. I think he does it twice. Does he destroy the caravan with paint?
Yeah, I just, yeah. I think Ethan and I both like screamed at the TV. I had a lot of like true LOL moments this season.
Yeah, I think for me, Mike provided a lot of those, but actually Jamali had a lot too. There is the first episode when they're carrying the plates and Jamali is moving very slowly with the plates in the tablecloth and they're slowly trickling out as he's moving and he just doesn't stop. He just like, he's like, those are gone. I don't need those anymore. They're broken anyway. And he's just slowly moving and slowly more and more plates are falling out. Like there's some really great, there's some really great comedic moments in this season.
Did you like the airport as like the field trip location?
I did think it was better than like last year's like weird warehousey type location, but I don't know. I mean, we got one very memorable task out of the airport location.
I can't even describe it because I don't want my voice and my name being tied.
Yeah, there's this new Rob as a podcast like out of context.
I don't want my unique name tied to talking about that in any specific manner.
Yeah, I haven't done the split. I haven't done the split of like, this is my like funny personal account and this is my like work account. So they're very much the same. So I'd rather not be tagged in a post about the thing that Mike had with my like,
what a moment it was. Yeah. The sound, interesting. The amount of time, horrific.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Upsetting. Yeah. Do I ever need to hear that sound again? Mm-mm.
Nah.
Did I cry laughing at him describing it as a casserole?
A casserole. There's some
absolutely.
My God, that guy is like, yeah, his like verbiage there. There's also the really great line he has. I think it actually is the salt and sugar challenge when they find out he's been disqualified. And then he says, well, the one thing you can't take away from me is that I had a very lovely day. Like, Mike, he's incredible. He's so lovely.
What a joy.
Yeah, he's a real gem. But yeah, that the mic only task, I think, will go down probably in Taskmaster history. I've been rewatching the first and the Josh counting like rice and beans and SpaghettiOs or whatever. It was like very, very good. And I loved it. And I actually feel like they haven't done this. Like the like one person, did we get any in series 10 of like one person gets a task? I don't think we.
I would say the closest we got to that was Richard Herring have to do all of the parts in that. TV production.
Yeah. Right.
And
I didn't forget about that. Yes.
I tried to forget about that. It drove me crazy. We had to see the same thing three times and there was no conclusion to the story.
Yeah, that was a bad one. Yeah.
We also saw it in the New Year's treat where Rylan had to say, I've got a really great idea every like couple minutes or whatever. Season 4. I feel like we got a lot. We got a lot of people doing it. Like we got Mel having to inflate the ball and deflate the ball and hide the ball. We had Joe Lycett having to do an increasingly happy smile throughout one of the tasks. An unintentional one was Lolly had to to corral chickens instead of dogs. Everyone else got dogs.
Who had to send... somebody had to send texts.
Mark Watson. Right. Oh, that makes me cry every time.
Right. Yeah, so there's been some fun stuff. I feel like, though, this was like, I don't know, it was like very... And then what a weird one to just give one. I mean, I can see why they didn't give it to everybody.
I am so glad they didn't give it. But I could tell as soon as he was reading this out, I turned to Ethan. I was like, this is a mic-only task. And he's like, how do you know? I'm like...
Yeah, I didn't know.
You
I
think that Charlotte... An actual actress do this? No. It's not happening.
Yeah. So I think that's as much as we can talk about without actually talking about what happened. So
if you just start tuning into this, not have watched the season, well, you're in for a treat. I think it's in episode 6.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Yeah.
It's an absolute casserole down there. So
yeah.
I did like the plane task where they had to do the most like entertaining like thing, and mostly because of Jamali's like barely knowing French was really great. Like just making up words.
That's how I've gotten really by funny. On my French. A few words and an excellent accent.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I, you know, when I need to speak French, that's what I do. It's just the Jamali. And then for not to like keep being like Mike is amazing, but Mike just speaks German. like what?
It's just my GSCE German. It's like you just remember that from like our equivalent of like 12th grade.
That's ridiculous.
And then Sarah, because you expect Sarah to take like an even road to each task. Her just screaming into the microphone was amazing.
Yeah, just like a total nonsense. Which I do think like the task was like, was it the most memorable, or I can't remember the exact wording, but I was like, I feel like Greg judged it weirdly. Did you have any Greg? I mean, we got questions about, was Greg too lenient? Has he become soft in his in these later seasons?
No, I don't think he's become soft, but there were some things I was like, nah, Greg. And I find that mostly in the prize task usually.
I know, he said if anybody gets jello, they're disqualified. Then it gave them all 3 points. Like, I think everybody got 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in that first episode, you know, the thing you can just barely carry, when Charlotte was like, my bedding. And I was like, yes, because I can barely carry my bedding. I'm about a similar size to Charlotte.
Yep.
But Greg Davies, who's like 6'8", of course that's not going to be difficult for him to carry it. So he doesn't even think about it.
I thought that there were some times like Jamali in the metronome challenge doesn't say metronome. He says metromome or something like that. And so like there are times where I thought like people would get disqualified. And they didn't. Like, I feel like it had to be a very clear, like, reason to be disqualified or to be given less points.
Well, especially in that first episode with the mouse trap challenge.
Yeah, for Jamali.
Did that thing, and she was like, yeah, I got it, I'm disqualified. And Jamali called her out, being like, she should be disqualified. But then he literally touched the mouse. Yeah. But they were like, he was like, no, you can't prove it was me because it was blurred out. Like,
yeah, do you have a green? He's like, can you do the green screen stuff? And she's like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was funny. Yeah, I feel like he should have been disqualified though.
Yeah.
But whatever. Or like given the least, I can't really remember if they get the least amount of points in those challenges anyway. But I mean, even in the first, like Lee brings all the plates over and they fall off the table, but he manages to like convince Greg that he should get points because he got them to the table and he says to stop the time before they fall off. But
yeah.
I don't know. Actually, you know what the live test I really like was the one where they had to like guess where they ranked amongst each other.
I loved that one. It felt very like Survivor Challenge, did it not?
Yeah, it was very good. I think I want to use it in Patron Taskmaster. I think
that's
idea. Yeah, it was very good. It's like, who drinks the most milk? And Greg's like, I'm almost positive Mike drinks the most milk. Like, he just guzzles. He's like, yeah, I'm an absolute milk guzzler.
and then Lee's like, yeah, I don't drink any, I'm vegan. And then later we see him have to bite into an egg in that deep fried challenge and bite into a leather wallet in that same challenge.
I felt really bad. Apparently he's not vegan anymore. I don't know if it was the show, but I did feel quite bad for him. And also in that, like, it's just like, who can hold the most eggs? It's like, wow, this is so Taskmaster. Just like, see how many eggs people can hold, which Lee said he could hold 17 eggs. I don't know if they tested that, but that's a lot of eggs in your hand. I guess you could stack them. That's still a lot of eggs.
I have pretty big hands, and like I'm seeing four. I think I could do. And I was a waitress for a long time, so I'm very good at carrying things. I could do like five, I think.
Yeah, I'm like looking at my hand. I don't know. I guess you have to take into consideration stacking, but that's still a lot of eggs.
I would put four.
I can't find the camera.
I would put the four, and then I'd put one. As like a pyramid, and I just don't think I could risk any more than that.
Well, risk it. I don't know. It doesn't say how many eggs can you hold before you drop it, you know?
I guess. Like, yeah. Does the hand have to be out? Like, can I tuck it?
I think so. I don't know. If I had any eggs in my house, I would try this later.
We just bought some eggs later, actually.
Yeah, but you don't want to risk them.
Mm-mm. Don't want to risk those eggs.
Yeah, if they're not my eggs, I'll happily try and put as many.
I'm only risking eggs for the biscuit.
The other, again, there are so many like weird sensory ones. There's the one where they like have the bowl of rice under the table and they can't see what's in it, but they have to like, and like other weird stuff, and they have to like figure out how many of each of them are in there. I thought that was a weird, there were a couple of misses on the live test. I thought, not just the team test stuff. There was also the one where they had to like open like the lockbox to like put on a pair of glasses. It's like, what are we even doing?
Yeah. But, and then they had to like guess Greg's age weight. And it's like, okay, well.
Yeah. But Slap and Tong.
Slap and Tong was fantastic.
Yeah. I want to play Slap and Tong.
We've got requests to meet halfway between us and play Slap and Tong.
What is halfway between us? Like
Hamilton?
Hamilton. You want me for a Hamilton Slap and Tong event?
Can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
The first place I know I want to go when I'm out of lockdown is Hamilton.
Yeah, I just got to wait for this lockdown to be over so I can go to Hamilton.
To be fair, I would love to go to IKEA.
True. I feel like we covered a lot of the tests. I don't think we've missed a lot of them.
So let's get into some of the questions before we get into talking about what's next on the Taskmaster docket.
I do have the questions. Let me pull them up.
Because I was unprepared.
So Todd the Librarian asks, who's your favorite contestant this series and why is it Mr. Mustache Mohawk? Oh, we never talked about the Mohawk.
Oh my God, what a shock. You know what? When that came on, I had like, we'd gotten to him, he was wearing the hat. I didn't think anything of it because I was like, it's Mike, whatever. I'd gotten up to like get something in the kitchen. And then I hear all like the shouts and hollers and I run back and I just see the Mohawk. I was like, what? He's just like, you missed it. Like, and we rewinded it, but
yeah,
it was brilliant.
Yeah, actually, we watched this episode together as a group in the post-show recaps Discord. People got together to watch the finale, and like when this happened, it was like the chat was like on fire. Like, I mean, it's an all-time moment. I think of like him. It's up there with the tattoo of Josh Whitcomb getting Greg tattooed on his foot. I think of like changing your physical appearance for a TV show is dramatic.
I think that Charlotte is such a great audience member.
I agree.
Because they always pan to her for her reaction. She's like, what? Or anytime Lee tells a story, she's like, really? And everyone's like, no. She's like, she's the best audience member.
Yeah, she's very gullible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it worked a little bit better without an audience because we had Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So who was your favorite contestant in the series?
Oh, this is hard because I love them all for such different reasons. I think I have to say Sarah. Like, I just love that archetype. I love it. I love Sarah. I love her attitude. I love her Australian accent. She's no nonsense, but like so much nonsense at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. She has a lot of hair. I can relate to that.
Great hair.
Yeah. I got to go with Mike. TikTok o'clock. It's Wozniak o'clock. I don't want to be like this is recency bias, but it might be. But he might be my favorite contestant ever. Like, I think I was most sad that he didn't win, only because now I don't get to see more of him on Taskmaster unless they do some weird like All Stars.
I would love to see an All Stars. I'd love to see like 20 of them.
Yeah, I know. I just want to see them all play more. See what I want.
Well, fun fact, he actually won.
He won the first
original
ever.
Taskmaster.
Yeah, at Edinburgh. So I was like, and actually, if you look at how close it was, like I think on the official podcast, James or Ed was talking about how they're I think in the first, maybe, I don't know, there's one of the tasks early on in this episode where, like, literally, if Mike and Sarah swap places, like, Mike wins the whole series. Like, it's, it was actually fairly close. But, yeah, Sarah was, I mean, I liked all of them. And actually, it's funny, like, as I said, like, Lee was the person I knew the most about. I was the most excited to see Lee play. And I think he's actually probably, he probably ranks number five for me coming out of this, this series, which is, like, he was still great. The other four just, like, were so fun.
Yeah, and I think it's because the other four were so unexpected. And I think what was brilliant about this cast and what they really try and do in every season is that each person brings something so different and so specific to them that it really can't be replicated by anyone else. And like the chemistry of each season is so dependent on who's there. And I think they work really hard to make sure that chemistry is going to work across the board.
Yeah, like I think last season in series 10, like I think that like maybe not in like placement wise, but I feel like Johnny and Daisy sort of like fit a similar of like these like very competitive and then like would get very flustered or like angry if they weren't doing well. Like they had sort of a similar vibe where I feel like every time anybody in this series was doing a task, it was like a very varied outcome like of like how they would approach the task. They all had these like this unique style, which I think, you know, made this series, I think, one of the better ones for sure.
And like last season, I felt like Richard was a little too desperate for it.
I agree.
And Catherine was a little bit too, like, as fun as I thought Catherine was, she was a little too out of it. Like Charlotte, she was like, she was so far at the bottom, but she won two episodes.
She did. Yeah. I mean, I really would love to see Catherine play in the sense of like that spider task where she's just like, I didn't know I could leave the room. just like this like deer in a headlights. I really don't think we've seen anybody like so out of their element as we have with Catherine Parkinson, which I thought was, or like, what did she have to remember? Oh, the line memorization. She's like, no,
I'm not. Yeah, she's just like, I'm not doing that.
Like I have a real job that like I have to memorize lines for and I can't sacrifice the brain space. It's like, okay, that's incredible. But yeah, sure. I mean, even Charlotte in the sense of like, again, being a bit out of her element, I don't know. She still had this like whimsy to her, to her approach to the test. Melissa Woodward said that she actually thought these were some of the best live tests ever. Which one was your favorite? I have to say, I think the like highs and lows of the live test, I don't think that like, I think some of like Slap and Tong was obviously like incredible, but then some of them like the toolbox ones. So I don't know if they were, I guess some of them were the best ones, I think, but which one was your favorite?
The who rank yourselves in order. That one was my favorite. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I think that one just edges out Slap and Tong. I also did really like the last one. I know that like that's really hard to pull off a task where like we don't see what they're doing in a lot, like at all. Like they had to like change behind that like screen. But the moment of the thing coming down and they're all dressed as llamas was really, really good. I thought this is the final moment of them on the show, is other than like them sitting and announcing the winner, but it's just like them on stage all dressed as llamas. Was really incredible.
Yeah, I had a nice time. I usually do. I think the live tasks they have to be really, really creative with now, especially since they can't have them be close to each other. Yeah. So I always love the one where it's like roll this thing or like shoot this thing, and you can. Well, what did we get?
Shove the fish.
Shove the fish. Yeah. And I have a cat, so I own one of those. I own one of those fish. I know them well.
Yeah. They call it the stage, the Nap It stage. Did you catch that?
Yes.
That's incredible. What a legacy to leave behind. You fell off the stage and they named the stage after you.
Amazing.
Melissa also wants to know, how would you undermine a vole?
Undermine a bowl?
A vole.
Oh, vole.
You have no chutzpah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't think of that. Be like, you're bad at things. Like, I don't know.
I have the full quote here somewhere. It's, you have no... you have no chutzpah. Your timekeeping is abysmal.
you're right. Like his verbiage. It's like, how does one person put those words together and make those sentences? I actually really love that reading challenge.
Yeah, it was great. We didn't talk about it at all.
I like to pretend I would be good at that because I'm a pretty fast reader. But as soon as there would be fire, I'd be like, I don't know.
My instinct is to put it out, but I don't know if they were allowed to put, like, stop the fire.
But, like, you'd have to, I know, would you use the Rubina? And what is Rubina? I meant to look that up.
Is it an alcoholic beverage, isn't it?
A black currant-based uncarbonated soft drink or fruit drink concentrate.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't know what Rubina was. I thought the task was very clever in the idea of like everything's on the task and there is like a trick to it. Again, this is like very like, let's get in the head of Alex Horn of like, you know, you do A to B, C to D, you know, that stuff. But yeah, that task would leave me panicked and I would look foolish. And then Lee just like being like, I will just attack everything because I know that one of them is attack was a very solid strategy. Not really. It's a very bad strategy.
And that's one where I thought Greg got a little messy with some of the points. Like I thought I can't even remember any specifics, but I feel like some of them he could have given them to. I felt like Jamali got too many points for what he was doing because I felt like he just kind of didn't do what he was supposed to with some of them and he just got credit for it anyway.
Yeah, I don't, that one was very messy. Like that's one where like Alex just needs to be like, this person did this many things. Like I have the data.
Yeah, there's no like, it's black and white if they did it or not.
Yeah. So yeah, we've undermined a vole. You have no chutzpah. Your timekeeping is abysmal. Is incredible. Arjun or AJ wants to know like what type of contestant is your favorite. I know you've talked a lot about like you really like the Sarah Kendall type, the like serious, like get down to business. Arjun says they really like the crazy people who don't give an F, like Jamali and Rod.
I because I am biased, I usually love the young woman.
Right. Yeah. No,
that's usually my favorite person.
I'm trying to think of like if I have an answer that's like I wouldn't say the like doesn't give. I feel like tries hard but isn't good is maybe so like the Nish, the James A. casters are very fun. I don't know if anybody really fits into that mold this season. Like Lee is probably the closest to that. But yeah, that's sort of certainly an archetype I quite enjoy. Which is there a task from a previous season? Same question. This is also from AJ that you would have liked to see this group perform.
Trying to think, there's just so many. It's hard.
I know there's been 11 series plus New Zealand plus America plus Champion of Champions. There's a lot of tasks right there.
I would maybe like to see how the camel one from series 4 would be approached by these people.
Is that the like, one where like the hide and seek? I think
it's
like,
no, it's down. Like, it's get the camel through the smallest gap.
Oh, right. I think that cast I would want to try all the time is the one where they are basically playing hide and seek with Alex, where he's like on the bridge and he pops up. I would absolutely want to do that. I think there's a lot of really good Taskmaster New Zealand tasks that I think would work. They did a couple ones that were very fun of like they were very good at like, here's the first part and then here's the second part. Like the first part influences part two. Like they did one where like you had to pick a letter and then like you had to build a statue that was like only the stuff with the letter. There's also the
The vase and then
repair reassemble. The vase. Yeah. And then the like drink one. I can't remember what they had to do. Everything had to rhyme. So all your ingredients, I think, had to rhyme, I think. And then you create a drink and then you got bonus points for like making Paul, who is the Alex of New Zealand, like drink it in a weird way. I would like to see them do that.
If you've watched all the British ones and you haven't watched the New Zealand one, watch it.
Yeah, it's really
a lot
good.
Of fun. The first couple episodes, it takes them a little while to warm up, but it's an unbelievably fun season.
Do you want to hear my hottest Taskmaster take?
Oh, no. Yes.
So I got a lot of flack from this on from people I was talking to. And so there was a discussion about Taskmaster New Zealand and about how Jeremy, who is the Greg of Taskmaster New Zealand, is very, very boring. And I said,
oh, he's so hot, but so bland.
He's very hot. Yes, it's true. But I said, yes, he is boring, but it doesn't matter. Greg is my least favorite part of Taskmaster. We'll just let the silence linger. Greg, let me defend it now. Let me defend it.
This is something that I'm hoping that out of context Robot does not tweet about. But I've had so many sexy dreams about Greg.
That's fine. He can be sexy.
I find him so hot that I can't imagine a life in which Greg is not on Taskmaster.
Oh, I don't want Greg to be replaced. Greg
do
is
you,
the,
do you
Greg
find
is the Greg is the perfect Taskmaster.
Do you find his hand is like too heavy?
No, I think part of it, which is like coming from this show, is ridiculous. I'm not like the biggest fan of like mean humor, and Greg goes there a lot, which is fine. That's fine. It's fine. Like I still love the show and I love Greg. It's just that like in any given episode, he's probably not going to be like my favorite, and he's probably pretty close to being probably my least favorite part of Taskmaster. So, but like the bar, if you're like looking at the bar of like good thing, like things on Taskmaster, like Greg is still at the like good. He's still good, you know? Some people would rate him higher, but, you know? Taskmaster is that good of a show that I can, like, be like...
I hate almost. That you're almost, like, selling me on it. I refuse to let you. I refuse.
Nobody else... Like, there's nobody else who can, like, who would do it and be... Like, I think Greg is, like, perfect for the role. It's, like, exactly what you want it to be. I think people with, like, Jeremy were, like, he's not... He isn't very... Like, the dynamic between Greg and Alex is that, like, he like puts Alex down, which is like, yeah. It like works. It's just not like my favorite thing.
Okay.
And then that's fine. But I don't necessarily want somebody in there who's like going to be like super like, oh, everybody's nice. Everybody's great. You all get 5 points. Like, I don't want that. So I don't know. Anyway, that's my hot take.
Wow. I was typing, honestly.
I know. I normally don't love hot takes because I feel like they're normally like, people are like, I don't know, like, you're like, oh yeah, that's just like a true thing that you're saying. Like, I don't know. So I normally hate hot takes, but I feel like I finally found one that's a real hot take. Well, we did talk about earlier. Do you think the conspiracy theory of whether Jamali was actually a fan of Taskmaster ahead of time was playing dumb, or was he faking that? That's from Deidre.
I don't think Jamali is the type of guy who would fake anything.
I agree. I literally don't think he's seen the show. I mean, there is something to be said. He does say on like his episode of the Taskmaster podcast that like, this is just a thing that like, Taskmaster's not exactly like targeted to like Jamali's community. It's like,
that's something we can talk about, which is that there's only ever one person of color on each season. And that's horrific.
There's never been more than one, right? There's never every,
don't I want to put my foot so. In my mouth. I really,
you know who has Taskmaster in New Zealand.
Exactly.
And they have three women to two men. So
I just think it's absolutely wild that for the first couple seasons, it was like, we have one woman, we have one person of color, and we have three white guys.
Three funny white guys.
Yeah. And,
I agree.
I think that's something that they really need to look into.
Yeah, like I was thinking, like I think that like they have. I'm trying to say this without like trying to make it sound like I'm giving them credit, because I do think that like there are people on who have been on Taskmaster who I don't think I have seen in like on a lot of like American TV who like who they would like cast in that like in their like that one spot of someone they're giving to you know, not a white guy, but I do think that like they could branch out, they could have more than one on a season, and that would be great.
Yeah.
And have they ever had a woman of color on the show?
Just Lolly Adefope.
Right. And we have I can't remember her name. Desiree Birch will be on next season, but
yeah.
So two. That's not great.
Which is a low number, and it just seems so blatant seeing a panel show having the five of them lined up.
Yep. And I think the other thing about this show is like there's no excuse about like, I mean, I guess like I'm not British, so maybe like the name recognition of people, but I like the people who I'm sort of like, what they're like, I didn't know four out of the five people on this show. Like there's no, it's not like they're like getting the biggest names in comedy. Like they have, like from British comedy scenes, they have gotten like the bigger names. Like I would say like Catherine Ryan and although she's even Canadian. But you know, it's not like it's like they can't cast people who are like lesser known. They certainly can.
Yeah, like Moan last season. I think Alex said that he'd seen him on YouTube and thought he was hilarious and needed to get him. And he was absolutely brilliant.
Yes, I agree. What else do we got? Which sound effect was worse? Lee's tonguing a Jell-O off the table or Mike's blank bursting?
I think maybe the Jell-O, because there was a visual.
Yeah, and they
where Mike's side can just like pretend it didn't. Like it did. I didn't see it.
I think Mike's is worse though.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, because of like what we know happened. Like yeah, you can pretend it didn't happen, but also like we also know what happened. Whereas like Lee just like tried to lick some Jello off a table. So, you know,
I know, but Lee's was still like desperate. I guess Mike's was pretty desperate.
No,
too.
Which one, if you had to set your ringtone for
one
of these, like a text notification, you have to set one of them. Which one are you like least embarrassed if it goes off on the bus or whatever, you know, or around people? Probably Lee's, right?
I guess so. I could just pretend it was like my cat making a cute noise.
Every time like Mike's goes off, you could just be, oh, sorry, excuse me. Whereas like with Lee's, you can't, like, there's no like, I'm just like, bleh, like I can't. Like,
yeah, I know.
Maybe Lee's is better. Like if I'm on the streetcar, I could probably get away with like people maybe thought I accidentally farted versus like, I can't, how am I supposed to cover up? Like, bleh, I can't. It's impossible.
I could just blame it on a kid next and you'd be like, it was a baby.
Oh, whoever runs this out of context account.
Tonight. You have to ask us consent. Before using any of these lines.
Consent. Who would be your dream casting agent? I think this is who's your dream cast, maybe. Like, is there somebody you would love to see play who maybe hasn't played before? This is from Sarah.
I would say Richard Ayoade is one of them for me.
Oh, he would be brilliant. He'd be so fun. He would be like Jamali, but he'd also really care.
Be like
it.
So much weirder.
Yeah, he would be weird. He would be like Jamali and Mike. Like, because he would have this aloofness of not caring, but he also would care and he'd be very weird. I think that's a really good answer.
And then the other one, it's funny because it kind of leads into next season's cast.
Yeah.
Because somebody I always wanted to see is David Mitchell.
Yes, agreed. They asked Alex about Victoria Cora Mitchell is playing in series 12. And people have always sort of been like, oh, David and Victoria should play together. And he sort of said like, I feel like it would take away from the other three people. So I'm actually very excited that she got cast actually before he did, but I would love to see a play. I would actually love to see, to round out the Would I Lie to You cast, I would love to see Rob Brydon play as well.
Or like, do you think him and like Jimmy Carr are too fancy to ever do Taskmaster? Like they're too used to being in the driver's seat?
Jimmy Carr, I think, would be more of a stretch than I think Rob Brydon would be, but I could see both of them playing.
And then two newer people that I would love to see. That I've really enjoyed from watching. What's that other one? Mock the Week is Rhys James and Catherine Bohart.
I don't think I know Catherine Bohart, but
I really enjoy her. You might know her to see her. What's it called? Richard Osman's House of Games.
Yes. Oh yes,
okay, you would know her then.
Yes. Somebody else was just thinking. Sean Locke would be quite fun.
Oh my god, yes, well. Yes.
As well. Yes. If you've never watched the Carrot game from 8 out of 10 Cats Says Countdown between Sean and John, it's brilliant TV, and you should go watch it immediately. Yeah, Sean would be great. Yeah. Wow, I named a lot of white guys.
Yeah, at least Catherine is a lesbian, so we've got that. Mae Martin is somebody who I also really love, and I think they would be. I think they'd be so brilliant on it because they're so smart and Canadian, and that's just really important to me.
I wonder, like, who did Nanette? Who did the Hannah? Not Hannah Gadsby. Is that her name? I can't remember her name.
Yes.
Hannah Gadsby. I had it right. She would be fun. I also love, have you watched Please Like Me on Netflix?
No.
It's very good. And the guy who is the lead in that, he would be very good on the show. Anyway. Okay. We can do one question. Then we said we would talk about series 12. I don't know if I have another one. Actually, don't have another question.
All right, series 12.
But thanks to everybody who did submit questions for this. This was very fun. Sarah asks, can we preview next season's cast?
Next season's cast. next season's cast. I was so excited to get that like 30-second YouTube clip of the next cast.
Oh, it's so cute, even the way like Alex is cleaning up. It was very cute. But yeah, for me, there's two names I know. I think maybe three. And actually, the two of the women I know. Oh, I know three people. So I know Desiree Birch, who is the host of Too Hot to Handle, right? This is what she's on. She's been on some panel shows in the UK. Alan Davies of QI fame, who I'm very, very excited. It was not somebody I thought we would see, like somebody who I just thought wasn't maybe going to, would be interested, maybe in the same vein as Jimmy Carr, Victoria Corn Mitchell. And do you have the last two? Cause I don't have them.
Morgana Robinson and Guz Khan.
Yeah. So I don't know either of them.
I feel like I've seen Morgana on a couple things, but I don't know her super well.
The thing I've heard about Guz, if I'm mispronouncing his name, is that like Alex said, like he's very excited they got him now. Like, and I think Ed Gamble said the same thing of like they feel like his career is like going to take off. Like after, like not just because of Taskmaster, but just like he's so funny and he's so good and he's brilliant and he's smart that like they've got him at a time where like. It's good for them to like get him before the show. So that's a lot of expectation to put on one contestant, but it'd be fun to see him. And I'm always like most intrigued, I guess, by like the people I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm sure I kind of know what Alan's going to bring. I kind of could envision what I think Victoria is going to bring and Desiree a bit. These other two people, I'm like, I have no idea what they're going to bring to the show. It's going to be so fun.
I can't believe Desiree was the narrator for Too Hot to Handle. That's
did you not know that? You didn't
No, know yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, when the cast got released, I was like, yeah, she's the host of Too Hot to Handle. I was like, that's where I know that voice.
I'm excited. And Alex said on the Taskmaster podcast that like, he's like, I don't want to give you spoilers, but she is absolutely brilliant. So I'm very looking forward to that. And I audibly gasped when Victoria Corin Mitchell was on the screen.
Yeah, she was the fifth one.
And I was like, what do you mean? I love her. I watched Only Connect to Fall Asleep for like 5 straight months this year.
I'm just excited to see her brain try to tackle these things. And I do feel like she could, like, actually, I don't. I actually have a lot of faith that like she won't get like boxed into like this is how I have to do it. Like I feel like she's so brilliant, she's so smart, a world-renowned poker player as well. I think Alex joked that she's the first ever $1 million poker player winner to ever be on Taskmaster. But I'm so excited to see how she approaches these tasks.
I'm really looking forward to this season. We're getting it in September.
So far away.
Do you think we're going to get Champions of Champions before then?
I'm just going to say yes, so that it manifests that we get it before the new season. It feels weird to go like even we got like Series 11 before we got Champions of Champions because now we're at like the point where like Sarah's not going to be on Champion of Champions, but she is a champion. So I would hope they don't go another season without it. And I guess the other thing is like if it's like in September, I guess it could have been like. But like by the time we get to it, like if it's after Series 12, then that's like around the holidays, right? It's like late October, November, December, whatever. And like they announced it, we were talking, we knew it was happening when we talked about New Year's Treat.
It said so December 17th, 2020, Avalon announced that Taskmaster would have a second Champions of Champions. And Ed did make it sound like they had at least had some people recording their stuff because with the one task we mentioned before, like draw your British animals in like strips, they had like 3D models printed off. And Ed was like, those are in the bathroom at the Taskmaster house.
Right.
So I was like,
ooh, he's been there. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
I also want those. I would like to order
them. Me too. When Ed was saying it, those are like, I saw those on, I was like, Taskmaster website so I can buy them. And he's like, the Taskmaster house. I was like, no.
Can I say something that like about that task that like I'm surprised nobody mentions in the episode? Like I think it's Lee and Mike. They draw like two sets of eyes by accident, but one of the sets of eyes definitely, if you like, they could have just been nipples, but nobody mentioned it, and I can't believe nobody did. It was like such easy like fodder for like that group to just be like, no, those are the nipples. Anyway, consent out of context.
Yes, you have to ask us for consent. Anything we say in this episode, you have to ask us for. The champions versus champions cast. Oh my God. It was like task. No, I can't say that. Liza Tarbuck, Carrie Godleman, Lou Sanders, Ed Gamble, and Richard Herring. There's a lot of interesting energy here.
Yeah, it'll be a bit weird. It feels like, I mean, I guess that makes sense that like the winners would be competitive, but it feels like it would be very competitive.
Yeah, like I feel like Ed and Lou are going to really...
They'll have that same dynamic as like Rose and Ed.
Yeah, but I don't find Lou that charming, or I love Rose.
I agree. And then Richard is going to be very competitive.
But like desperate still, and but also like just excited to be there. And Liza and Carrie, I feel like follow the Sarah Kendall model of like, get in, let's just do it, and see what happens.
What did Mel Giedroyc always used to say? Like Bosch?
No, that's Carrie Godleman.
Is it Carrie Godleman?
Carrie Godleman would be like, Bosch.
Bosch, get it. Bosch Taskmaster. It came up immediately. Is it just Bosch? It's just Bosch, I guess.
But I feel like there's like a get it, do it, Bosch, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I don't know. I don't have it, but... yeah, I mean, yeah, there'll be sort of a weird bish, bash, bosh, get it done.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I do think it will be out before Series 12, because otherwise that's like a full year in advance to announce that it's coming out, which yeah. I guess in TV world isn't that long, but like, in reality, TV world, that's too long, I think. So, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's season 11 in the books. I had a great time.
It's very fun.
I can't wait for season 12. It's like
where do you rank? Do you have rankings?
Oh, seasons? You know what? I wrote them down somewhere because I sent them to a friend like very recently. Let me stall while I find this.
So I feel like series 11 again. I don't want to like maybe I need to give it a little bit of space to like not immediately rank it number one. I don't think it will be number one when I look back on it, but it's very, very close. I think probably for me, season four or five are probably my favorite. Like, I just love Bob Mortimer so much. Give me a team of Bob Mortimer and Mike Wozniak, please.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Please. Yeah, between one of those two seasons are probably my number one, and so it probably rounds out my top three, I think. And probably on any given day, I could just adjust those as needed. As we know, rankings are arbitrary and reductive, but Taskmaster is about ranking things. So,
like, I'm mad. I definitely just wrote this down recently, and I have no idea where I wrote it. I would definitely season four is my favorite. Season three is easily my least favorite.
Oh, really? I think season six might be my least
favorite. That's at the bottom for me as well. I just feel like those are two seasons that maybe like don't have as much charm as I would like. Oh, wait. Oh, I think I might be able to.
You really have to love.
Oh, I found it. I found it.
You really have to love what's his name from series three, I think, to like series three.
Okay, here's my rankings. Best to worst.
Yes.
Number four.
Yes.
Number nine. Mm-hmm. Number two. Number five. Number seven. Number 11. 1, 10, 8, 6, 3.
Wow. Like series 11 is pretty low down. Like comparative.
It's like middle. I think I'm really missing the audience, honestly.
True. True. Yeah, that makes sense to me, I think. Two is really fun. You have Richard Osman. Yeah, it is really fun. Joe Wilkinson. Yeah, it is fun.
And I really love Catherine Ryan.
She is incredible. And Canadian.
Which is yeah. Very important to me.
Yeah.
Season four just has like a magical cast. And I'm very much I really love Joe Lycett.
Yeah, Joe Lycett. And you have Lolly and... like
Mal and Hugh.
Mal and Noel and Hugh. It's like really good. There's like no weak spot, which is sort of how I feel about this cast. Like they're really like, again, like if Lee is my least favorite, that's a good season. I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I didn't do my full rankings, but people have my top three.
I had a great time watching this and I had a great time podcasting with you about it.
Yeah, 5 points to both of us.
What else are you doing on the internet these days?
Follow me on Twitter at Hi From Grace. I do a podcast called Hold Up, where we look at LGBTQ media from the past however many years, and then we see if it holds up. So last week, we returned with our season 3 premiere. We did The Birdcage, Robin Williams, Nathan Lane. It's very fun to see Gene Hackman. Very fun to see how it held up.
How often does it hold up?
More than I think I would have thought going in. Like, I mean, my gender, not to like give away my whole theory about whether stuff holds up, but it's really like, who are we like in a comedy, like, who are we laughing at versus like, who are we laughing with? So as long as like there's like an episode of The Simpsons, like, I don't know if you, like, there's Homer's phobia episode where like the whole point is that Homer is like a homophobic buffoon, like, right? And we're not supposed to like agree with him. We're supposed to laugh at him. Whereas like, there's other shows where like, we're just like Friends is pretty bad. I know the Friends reunion just came out, but Friends is pretty homophobic and transphobic. So yeah, more often than you think, I think, but depends on what we're watching, obviously. I think the more mainstream we get, the harder it gets for it to hold up. Birdcage wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. Actually, the queer stuff in Birdcage was less problematic than like, there's like a politician character. Gene Hackman plays like a politician, which is pretty brutal. You can also find me on the Post Show Recaps patron feed talking about the final season of Pose. We just had I cover that with Brooklyn Zed. We just watched episode 5. There's only 2 episodes left, but I watched Ariel Gomez came on, as well as Chappelle came on to talk about Pose with us. And then on Tuesday nights, you can catch me on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. I am playing Dungeons and Dragons in Space with the wonderful Rich Filiberto. Very fun. It's been a fun weekly thing to get to do. Dungeons & Dragons has been a pretty big thing in my life during COVID, so it's been fun to get to broadcast it to the world. That's what I'm doing.
You got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot.
We've got nothing else to do, though.
I know. Play The Sims.
Oh, my God. It's at the beginning of quarantine last year, because I lost all 4 of my jobs, I downloaded The Sims. And I don't do things like part way. So my Sims addiction just came crashing back, like when I was a child. And I bought like 15 of the expansion packs, game packs, all the other shit.
It's like, so brutal. I'm like definitely like a bit of like a completionist in a sense. And like, that's a very bad thing when it comes to a game that has like a million expansion packs.
And like a new one comes out every 3 months, and like every game pack, and now there's stuff packs. Oh, I love them so much.
It's really, really bad for my wallet.
So yeah, I'm doing that just in private though, not on stream. I don't want to embarrass
myself. We could stream it and we could build the Taskmaster house.
I wanted to build the Circle apartment on The Sims too.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
So that's something, that's something to consider. Other than that, what else am I doing? Well, I'm talking about Top Shop on a regular basis with Kurt Clark and Latani Starks. That's been a real joy for me. The Bachelorette's coming back next week. So Amy and I are recording our draft episode with Brian Scali tomorrow. And then I was recently on the RHAP Survivor Countdown of Greatest Seasons of All Times, talking about Survivor Africa with Rob and Lindsay Wilson.
My Renap best friend, Lindsay Wilson.
She's amazing. I love her so much.
She's incredible. She's like the best. Yeah.
We had a rip-roaring great time.
It was really fun. It was a really good podcast. Yeah.
I had a lot of fun doing that. And then you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. If you're interested in checking out what I'm reading, well, lucky for you, I have a Bookstagram account now at the Strong Library, so you can check that out. Just put a new review up today.
It's a good follow. I follow
it. But until then, see you later, guys, I guess. See you in September for Taskmaster season 12. Actually, probably like December, right?
I know. Yeah, later than that. Yeah. Well, hopefully sooner. Champion of Champions, my best day.
Yay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.